take your Bible, turn anywhere, it's all good. First John, I'm going to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. When you're up at a pulpit and there's water in the pulpit and you open it, you want to hear that click. That tells you that you are the first one to drink that. So if you're ever up here and there's water up there and you don't hear that, drink at your own peril. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 1. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Let me just say here a little interjection here. Don't tell everybody you love God when you disobey that book. That verse says you're a liar. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." It's not hard to live this book. We make it hard. We put confidence in our flesh. That's why we think it's hard. But his commandments are not grievous. That word grievous means hard to be born. It's not. Now look at verse number 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Mm-hmm. Amen. Father, I need your help this morning.
Yes, Jesus.
And I pray that you would give it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my pastor in Indiana, when we were there for a couple of years, he would say this statement all the time: words have meaning. God means what he says and says what he means.
Amen.
We believe the King James Bible is the word of God. We believe that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So look what this verse says. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Now, that ETH on the end of it, I'm going to try to impress you with my English knowledge. That means present tense, right now, continually.
Amen.
What I'm saying is that verse does not say, "For whatsoever is born of God will overcome the world."
That's right.
In the future will overcome the world.
No.
It means overcometh right now the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you a Joel Osteen title, but it's not Joel Osteen content.
Wow.
Now, evangelists ain't got much, but we got titles, okay? We like our titles. But I want to preach to you just a few minutes on the victorious Christian life.
Yes.
The victorious Christian life.
Do that.
The problem is that too often in today's circle, because of these nut jobs like Joel Osteen and some of these others, is that that has become a buzzword. And it doesn't mean what they think it means. They say that it means a life of wealth and prosperity. It means a life without stress or problems. Some may even say that it's a sinless life. And so the first thing that we have to do is we have to define what it means. And the text does just that. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Now, what in the world is there that we need to overcome? Well, go back a page to chapter 2. Look at Look in verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'm convinced this, a lot of Christians are going up in the rapture feet first. Because they're going to be too attached to the world and their, and this is a Bible word, stuff, that their feet are going to have to go first. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Well, how can you say that? You just talked about, you know, the iPhone and all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. We all, I love modern conveniences. I do. I'm passing these Amish folks every day with their buggies, and I've got a gas-guzzling truck. I thank God for it. I like air conditioning. I like electricity. I like running water, indoor plumbing. We got, and I'm not picking on the Amish. We got three, you'd ask Brother Dale, we got three families in our church that live off-grid. I mean, I'm talking about outdoor plumbing. I'm talking about collecting rainwater to take a shower. Knock self out. I also tell our church, if we get four more years of Biden, we're all going to have to move in with one of these three families. Amen? And we're laughing at them now, but we're going to be knocking on the door. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. So here is what God says. If you're saved, you have overcome.
Yes.
The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. So you have to ask yourself a question. Do you want to live the victorious Christian life? Do you want a life of holiness? That's a dirty word in churches today.
Yeah.
Holiness. And by the way, when I say holiness, I mean what God says is holy.
Yeah.
In case you ain't figured out yet, I enjoy picking on the Baptists. The fundamentalist's definition of holiness and God's definition of holiness don't always match up.
Uh-uh.
Amen. Listen, there is enough stuff in this book for us to obey. We don't have to invent stuff.
Amen.
Right, that's good. Amen.
You say, you don't believe in standards? Of course I believe in standards. I believe in God's standards.
Amen.
Okay? God makes his standards very clear in this book. Amen. I just don't like Baptists taking verses and cherry picking their little standards.
Yeah.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
I believe men ought to look like men. Mm-hmm. I believe ladies ought to look like ladies.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I believe the New Testament still, it's in there. It still teaches and commands modesty.
Amen.
Amen. And all of that kind of stuff. But listen, I'm going to tell you. Just obey this book. Amen. Don't invent stuff.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't invent stuff. This book will keep you busy from now till Jesus comes. Do you want a life of holiness? Do you want a life of being like Christ? Do you want a life of overcoming sin? Do you want a life of living above the world? Now, this kind of life that we're talking about, a life of holiness, a life of victory over sin, a life of being like Christ, living above the world, used to be desired by most believers.
Come on, that's right.
I am sick of hearing me say this word, Laodicea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that is where we're at.
Yeah, yes, we are.
God's let me continue to travel in evangelism, and I'm still preaching. I'm preaching more meetings than I ever preached. But when I became a pastor of New Life Baptist Church, a dear friend of mine, who Brother Maury knows, Pastor Artie Dean, He preached a charge that day, and Brother Asquith, this is what he said. Welcome to pastoring in Laodicea.
Amen.
Oh my, did I find out what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Lord, no.
This kind of life that we're talking about used to be practiced by most believers. Not just wanted, but practiced. But it is sadly becoming a thing of the past. Sin is being embraced. Holiness is being forsaken. And I'm going to say some things that I've already said, so bear with me, because I want to get to some important, very important things. Some Christians try and try to live right and do right, and when they fail, they get blown out.
Yeah, yeah.
They get very discouraged.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord, help.
Sadly, to the point of some give up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't do it. It's not worth it. It's too hard. I tried. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then what they end up doing is they end up doing worse than before.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I would rather have 50 people in my church or 30 people, whatever. We don't have a big church. I'd rather have 35 people in my church who are real.
Mm-hmm.
Who are trying to serve God, who blow it all the time, than 30 people who are fake and phony and super spiritual and live like hell all week long, but got it all together on Sunday morning. I hate phony people. I hate phony Christianity. I hate costume Christianity.
Yeah.
Man, that was kind of, that sounded pretty good, didn't it? I never thought of that one before, amen? You preachers feel free to use that, okay? Just give credit where credit's due and give me time to copyright it, okay? But where we put on this costume on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
but that's not what they really are out there. That's not what they really are at home. That's not what they really are on the job site. That's not what they really are at the restaurant. And what is even I find sad is that a lot of Christians have never even heard that the victorious Christian life exists, much less it's possible.
Yes, that's right. That's
that
right.
Is possible. And some have heard about it, but they've never really experienced it either at all or with real consistency.
Mm-hmm.
The devil has convinced them that all their sins have been forgiven, that it does not matter how you live. That is a lie of the devil.
Yes, that is.
Paul told the church at Thessalonica how you received of us, how ye ought to walk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if I mentioned it, but there was a guy that told me one day, he said, when you preach about Jesus, I really enjoy it. He said, but as soon as you start telling me how I'm supposed to live, I turn you off. Laodicea.
Yeah.
Rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing, including God.
Come on.
Here's another excuse you will hear today. Well, Brother Craig, don't you know? I mean, the Bible even says, I have liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You have liberty to serve God that you did not have when you were lost. You do not have liberty to do anything you want. Your liberty is also called freedom from sin, not freedom to sin.
Right.
That's good.
And then there are some Christians who just chalked it up to, well, I'm trapped in this flesh. That's all there is to it. So it is what it is. You don't have to raise your hands on this one, but have you ever had this thought that blue lights bother me? You messed me up.
You got to deal with
this. I know I got to deal with it instead of everybody else. All right, I'll take one for the team.
Sacrifice you for the sake of
all right, that'll work. Amen. Glad I could help. Have you ever thought to yourself, there's got to be more to this life than sinning, confessing, sinning, confessing, sinning, confessing?
Sure.
I had one person ask me one time, they said, am I just doomed to be on a perpetual roller coaster? And so I want to give you some thought. Number one, I want to give you the possibility of the victorious life. The Bible teaches victory over sin for every believer.
Amen. That's right.
Every believer. And again, I have to say this because the devil will put it in some people's mind that we're talking about sinless perfection. Well, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about the bondage of sin. When we got saved, God delivered us from the bondage of sin.
That's right.
We sing it in the hymn. My chains fell off.
Amen.
My heart was free. Amen. And you look at our text there back over in chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And can I say to you, John is not talking about victory when we get to heaven. He's talking about now victory. He's talking about daily victory. But the devil does not want you to know about the victorious Christian life. He does not want you to know about this now victory.
Amen.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, the devil does not mind a religious person or even a powerless Christian. But he definitely don't like the power of a triumphant life.
Amen.
That believers can and should live.
Yes. Yes.
Because guess what? If you're living in victory, he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's going about seeking whom he may devour.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make this statement. The victorious Christian life is not reserved for only a select few,
come on,
but every single child of God. It's a lie of the devil to think otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at, okay, first of all, let me give you a dose of reality, okay? People will look at people who struggle and, you know, as they're on this constant roller coaster, this, that, or the other, and they'll look at other people in the church and they say, I just don't got it all together like they got it all together. That's very nice of you to think that, but they don't have it together as much as you think they got it together.
That's right.
They got that costume on.
Amen.
And so don't think that. And then on the flip side of that coin is don't think that this victory is for just a select group. It's just you just God just didn't pick you to live it.
That's not
how it works.
Correct.
So we have the possibility of the victorious life. Number two, we have the promise of the victorious life. So how do we know then? Okay, go over to John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse number 10. Can I just say, forgive me for using all of these books of the Bible that is not for us today, okay? I mean, we went from John to 1 John to the Gospel of John, and I know Paul didn't write that, so it's not for us today, but he's hyper, ultra, uber, dumb dispensationalist. The thief, verse 10, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to kill, for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your average Christian will look at that verse and say, oh man, can't wait to get to heaven for that abundant life. That's not what John is talking about. The abundant life is not the destination, it's the trip.
Amen.
God did not save us just so we can endure the trip, but enjoy the destination.
Come on.
Well said.
Does Craig Cobb have problems? Oh, yes. Is Craig Cobb a mess? Oh, you have no idea. But I'm just telling you right now, I'm enjoying the trip.
Amen.
I enjoy the Christian life. I enjoy God's people.
Amen.
Amen. There is no greater people on the face of the earth than God's people. God's people are the best group of people that there is.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not perfect.
Yeah.
Make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Can be just plain idiots,
mm-hmm.
of whom I am chief. I get it. But there ain't no people like God's people.
Right.
But God did not save us just so that we could... until we get to heaven.
Come on.
He came to give us life that we could have more abundantly. That word abundant means plentiful. An abundant supply. It means full.
Amen.
It means full. God came to give us a full life. Don't you want everything that God has for you?
Yes.
Don't you want to do everything God wants you to do? Don't you want to follow Him wherever He leads me, I will follow?
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 8. Again, God means what He says what He means. Well, let's look what He says. He says He came to give us life, give us more abundantly. And then look what He says over in Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are conquerors. Is that what it says? No. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I do not know how you can be more than a conqueror. Well, a W is a W. I mean, a win is a win. A V is a victory. Not with God, you can be more than that.
Glory to God, brother.
Is that God says what He means? Either He means that or He doesn't mean that.
Good.
I don't know. I can't explain to you. That is something you have to experience.
Yeah, that's right.
That is not something that can be explained. It has to be enjoyed and experienced. But God did not come just so we could just be a conqueror. He came so we could, He saved us so we could be more than a conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 13.
Mm-hmm.
There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Stop. Quit thinking that your temptations are different than other people's temptations.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I know they struggle with that, but they don't know what I struggle with.
Come on.
I know a guy, he's in heaven now, and I believe the reason he's in heaven now is because he went to heaven prematurely.
Come on.
I don't believe God intended him to die at 52 years old. And I believe he was saved as the Apostle Paul, but he had a problem. God would give him a good job and he'd get some money in his pocket and then he'd go back to the old days.
Oh, brother.
And his deal was cracked.
Mm-hmm.
And I dealt with him for years. And one day he said this to me. He said, you don't know what being addicted is all about.
Right.
I said, why? Because my thing ain't cracked?
Right.
I know what being addicted is. It's just a matter of what you're addicted to.
Come on.
I said, you're not a special case.
Come on. I like to think it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
That is the lie.
It don't matter whether it's crack, if it's liquor, if it's pornography. You name it.
Right.
Amen. It's all a temptation and it's all common to man. There is no temptation but such common man. But God is faithful.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, God didn't take his crack away. Oh, God wasn't faithful?
Come on.
God wasn't faithful? I've been asking God to take that pornography away from me. Oh, so God has let you down.
Come on.
You're still looking at it because God has failed you.
Come on.
No. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now we hear this preaching, okay, God's going to make a way of escape. The temptation comes and there's an escape there. But I have preached this verse wrong over the years, and we have looked at this verse wrong over the years. Here's how we read this verse. Okay, the temptation comes. That means God is going to let my phone ring. That means God is going to let somebody knock on the door. That means God is going to let somebody send me a text. And that's my escape from that temptation. No. Because what happens if the temptation comes and the door doesn't ring? The phone doesn't ring. The text message doesn't pop up. Then according to that thinking, God wasn't faithful and did not provide a way of escape. But will with the temptation make a way to escape? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me give you the correct interpretation of that verse. The escape from temptation is not a what, it's a who.
Amen.
And it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because when that phone don't ring and that doorbell doesn't save you, he is still there. You can get to him.
Amen.
That's good, bro.
Real good.
And then let me give you this. The principle of the victorious life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the principle of the victorious Christian life. But thanks be to God, which what? Giveth us the victory. The victorious Christian life is a gift.
Amen.
Received from God by faith.
That's good.
By faith. Salvation was a gift, was it not?
Yes.
Did we do anything to earn it? The victory that God gives is something he gives. We don't do anything to earn victory. Say, what are you talking about? We cannot attain that victory in our own strength.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You say, why? Because God's already given it to us.
Amen.
All right? Victory is not something we win. It's something we believe.
Amen.
Amen.
The proof is Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
By faith. I want to give you a couple of statements in closing. And I mean, when I say closing, I mean like I'm really going to close. I'm not talking about how Brother Zach closes, okay? Like, we're not going to go another 20 minutes. And yes, I busted his chops about it too, so don't think I'm talking about him behind his back. That's proof he's a Baptist preacher. Amen. I can close this message anytime I want to. I'll close it 10 times. Amen. I do it too, so I'm just praising. And it's always easier to pick on the guy who's not here anymore, okay?
I wonder why.
Victory. You got to train yourself to understand this point. Victory is the work of the Savior in us, not our accomplishments in the flesh. Victory is the work of the Savior in us, not our accomplishments in the flesh. So the next statement that comes out logically is this. We get the victory over our flesh by Christ getting the victory over our flesh. How do we do that? By yielding to the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
We give Him the victory over our flesh. The sinner is converted and gets victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil immediately at salvation. And the proof is, which giveth us the victory. Hey, guess what? The victory God gave me yesterday is not going to help me today.
That's good.
I need today victory for today.
Yes.
There are some people who, I've heard people say that, well, you know, some people are just going to struggle with that for the rest of their life. They don't have to.
No.
If they do, it's not because of God.
That's right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you the biggest thing I need victory over is not crack, it's not pornography, it's not liquor. Amen. The biggest thing I need victory over is me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, amen.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
When Jesus said, you know, Paul said, ask thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan above me. And then he said, my grace is sufficient. And then he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, for years, up until just a few years ago, I thought that was Paul saying, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I mean, you know, giving glory to God for his grace and all, but that's God saying that. God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you are 100% weak, I am 100% strong. So guess what? Any bit of strength we have decreases God's strength.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
If you want God to be perfectly strong in your life, you have to become perfectly weak. That's the only way you're going to live the victorious Christian life, is becoming perfectly weak so He can be perfectly strong.
Amen.
And it's, listen, we fail Him. He don't fail us. Amen. The victorious Christian life is a now victory for everybody.
Yes.
Every believer. Every believer. That's why He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. God doesn't lay it aside. We lay it aside. Why did He word it that way? It's just continuity of the Bible. It's continuity of truth. It's not Him that has to take it away. He did it. Salvation.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. He that is dead is freed from sin. In order for us to sin, we have to step over the blood of Christ and resurrect it. I'm going to need my pulpit in my church. I got a set of jumper cables I pull out every once in a while. That's what we have to do to sin. We've got to put them jumper cables on the old man and resurrect it in order for us to sin.
Yes, sir.
Because the God already gave me victory over all that stuff. But in my flesh, at the moment, I stop loving God. I love me more than God. And I resurrect the old man. And I determine that it's me now, Lord, and not you. So quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming the it. Quit blaming the dope, the pornography, the liquor, the drugs. Quit blaming that. It's not that. God said, I've given you a way of escape. Here I am. That simple. That simple. Easy for you to say. Yeah, well, how much you want to live it?
Amen.
It just boils down to desire. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to realize, Lord, that this victorious life is more than possible. We can be more than conquerors. And I pray, Father, that maybe some people today get some help, get some victory. And Lord, maybe the issue is not the stuff, but Lord, they've just never been saved. I pray, God, that you'd speak to those hearts and draw those people, and that they would quit fighting you and get saved by the grace of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.